Mike Kaika, reporter for the Dallas Stars, joins us. Welcome back to the show. Mike, how are you?
I'm expecting a Falcon Crest roundtable break out.
Well, you know, I was going to ask, like, in Dallas, like, do Dallas people in the hate, like, were those other shows just frowned upon because they weren't named Dallas?
I wasn't here back then. It was a while back. But they made a big deal out of it. That's, I mean, the ranch that they had there was a huge tourist attraction.
Oh, yeah,
so it was a big deal.
Yeah, nice. Okay. The Stars, in somewhat of a tailspin for them, losers of 7 of their last 8 games, their only win coming in a shootout. Now, I know that, you know, Brownlee pointed out 8 of their 10 games have been played on the road. I don't know if that has anything to do with it, but clearly they're not playing the same hockey that they were in 2015, to use a lame joke. But, you know, one win in since the calendar turned, how come?
It's a little bit of everything. I do think the schedule contributed to the start of the downfall. They came out of Christmas. They played 9 games in 15 days, most of those on the road. Most of them, you know, travel back. It was only one game homestand. And then they went into a 5-day break where they did nothing. Then they went out to California and played 3 games in 8 days on the road. And so the schedule has been tough on them, but they've contributed. They just have not been themselves. And I'm just guessing at this, but what I think is because they're on the road, they're playing other teams' games. And so they're trying to play Anaheim's game, or they're trying to play New Jersey's game, or they're trying to play the Kings game. And they're not just playing their game and moving the puck quickly, getting it out, moving it forward. And so they've kind of just, like I said, they've been herky-jerky, just like the schedule's been herky-jerky.
Well, Mike, I mean, this is a better team than it's looked in these last 10 games, obviously. How is Lindy Ruff approaching things? Is he still arm on the shoulders, understands there's rough patches for every team, or is this getting under his skin a bit?
I think he understands. I think they've got a good enough cushion right now where he's still pretty calm. The one thing I think the fans are most irritated by is he changes the lines pretty much every game, and he still goes with the same D pairs mostly, Goligoski, Klingberg, Oduya, Demers, and then whatever they throw together on the third pair. And there is some thought that Goligoski at 185 and Klingberg at 180 is part of the problem. That
Smurfs.
Teams are getting in hard. They're going in hard on the forecheck against Klingberg, and they're kind of throwing him off his game. And a lot of fans would love to see Oduya with Klingberg or anything else, basically, than what they're throwing out. So it's been interesting. Tonight, he has Ben Sagan Sharp on the second line, quote-unquote. He's put Matthias Janmark in the center with Roussel and Hemsky, who played really good last game, and then has moved Jason Spezza to a right wing with Cody Eakin. So if he's that, if he's that dynamic and his line changes for the forward group, it seems like he should experiment a little bit more on the blue line.
Yeah, when you talk about Hemsky playing better recently, I know his goal total obviously isn't very high. And last season he struggled; he was banged up. Is he healthy, Mike? You saw Hemsky come in there in his heyday with the Oilers when he was a very dangerous forward on the attack. Does he still show that side every now and then, or does he play a different game?
No, he does. In fact, I really don't mean this as a slam against you. He plays a very Oilers game. He is all over the place. He tries to go 1-on-3 a lot of times. He's got plenty of skills. Sometimes he'll beat the first 2 guys and then get crushed by the third. He's got skills. He's got speed. He plays well with Janmark because Janmark has skill and speed as well. And the problem has been, and this really isn't Alex's fault, but it is what he is that it's hard to put him on the line with Jason Spezza because Jason Spezza doesn't play great defense. And it's hard to put him on the line with Tyler Seguin and Jamie Benn because they don't play great defense. So Lindy's always trying to put him on the line with somebody who plays good defense because he's weak in the defensive end. And so, that hurts his offensive ability because he's rarely playing with the best offensive players on the team. Him and Janmark have something going right now, and I think the Stars are hoping that it works out to be something.
How has Spezza been?
He's been great, in my opinion. This is a weird decision on Lindy's part.
Yeah.
Their belief is he's not been good defensively, and that a lot of their problems have come from the fact their centers have not been good defensively. Sagan's trying, but again, loses assignments. Eakin has just not had a good year. And so then when Spetz is in there defensively and they're running those three guys out there, a lot of times they're losing coverage or they're getting stuck in the defensive zone because their defensive work out of center position hasn't been good. And so Lindy in the last couple of games has said, all right, we gotta sacrifice somebody to get Matthias Janmark in the center position. And he's a very good two-way player, Matthias Janmark is. And so right now the sacrifice is Spezza. Last game he started on the right wing with Ben and Sagan, but again, that line got toasted a little bit. And so, now he's put Patrick Sharp up there, who I think is a better two-way guy, who better understands defense out of the wing position. And now he's putting Spezza with Eakin, who they believe is a pretty good center. And both of those guys can go back and forth on face-offs and do a few other things on what is right now the third line. So I like Jason Spezza. I think he's a really good number two center. He costs a lot of money, but if you look at the options for number two center in this league, I think he's a really good option. But then the question is, can the other guys play defense around him? And that's what the Stars, I think, are trying to look. When they have Janmark and Sharp on with Spezza's line, it's a fine line. But right now they're not winning, so we got to push some buttons.
Mike Hajka joins us, Dallas Stars. It meant, they pushed some buttons. Lindy Ruff is a coach who's never afraid to, I know there was a game he benched Ben and Sagan, albeit for a brief time, but he still did it. He's an old-school coach who's not afraid to send messages. Has there been some players during this 7-of-8 losing skid that, he's taken to task?
No. Other than Ben and Sagan, he just mentions that, this team has a really hard time winning if those two aren't scoring. But other than that, and Klingberg, I think, he's not hard on Klingberg, but he will tell you straight out that Klingberg's not playing well right now. And a large part of that is that pretty much every single team circles his name on the board and says, you stop this guy and you stop a big part of the Stars' attack. But he has asked a lot of his players. I will say that. Like, Patrick Sharp's been all over the lineup, and this is a guy who's coming off a Stanley Cup championship who, he's a pretty high-level guy who does everything you ask him for, and there's times that he's playing with Eakin and Patrick Eves or somebody like that. And I think that's a little bit tough. And then Jason Spezza in this recent run to get put on a third line with Eakin, I think, these guys are swallowing their pride a little bit because they kind of see what the Stars could be. In a different time, veteran guys like that, I think, might have not been too happy. But so far, everybody's toeing the line because they want to win.
Mike, I know you're not inside Ruff's head, but, you talk to the players, and if you're going to kick off a three-game homestand and you've struggled a bit in the last 10 games, the Oilers come in down a couple of quarts of high-performance oil, so to speak, and this has got to be a game that circled on the whiteboard about go out hard and play the whole 60, and you're going to get the win, because they're not a great club right now, lineup-wise.
Yeah, and the problem is I think the Stars have had a tough time with these teams this season. They would go in and beat Chicago, they'd beat St. Louis, they wouldn't have a problem with that. And then they'd struggle against the Flames and the Oilers and Colorado earlier in the season when they weren't playing well. I agree with you, Robin. I think this is a game when the coach, whether he says it or not, they know they got to take advantage of this. This three-game homestand is Edmonton tonight, Colorado on Saturday, and I believe Calgary on Monday or Tuesday. And they need to get some points out of this and stop the bleeding for a little bit just to go into the All-Star break. It's just a lot of things that need to get fixed, and they kind of need to take it one step at a time and just say, okay, look, this is a team that we can beat. Let's go out there and beat them. Because I do think one of the biggest problems they have is nobody knows if they can handle adversity. And, this is really kind of the first sign of it. Well, okay, then, stand up and show that you can handle adversity.
Which goaltender has been better?
Niemi, clearly. He's struggled a little bit lately, but he is just – the biggest problem with Kari is every fan is sitting there waiting for him to give up the wrong goal at the wrong time in the third period. And they still feel that way. He's had a good year. His record's obviously fantastic. I think he's 13-4, 13-5 with a 2.90 goals against average. So he's getting a lot of run support. And the feeling is that, the last time they saw Kari Lehtinen in the playoffs, he blew game six against Anaheim. And I think everybody has that in the back of their mind, that whenever it comes down to the toughest save, that Kari won't be able to make it. And so at this point, I think all the fans and the coaches won't ever say, but I think the coaches also believe that, you know, first game of the playoffs, it'll be Antiniemi.
Mike, too early to get worried. Like I say, this 10-game stretch is a bad stretch for a good club. But when you look at that central, it's a murderer's row. And when you look at that defense, if team personnel is honest, when they look at that back end, is it good enough?
No, I don't think it is. And the biggest issue, Robin, is they've got three unrestricted free agents coming up, and then they have five guys in the minors who they all believe can play in the NHL. Or not in the minors, but including Oleksiak, Nemeth, Steven Johns, Etzel Lundell, and Julius Honka. So basically five, six guys who are 24 or younger who they believe can play in the NHL. And three guys, Golgoski, Demers, and Jordy Benn, who are all going to be free agents. So how do you do that? In my opinion, the way you do that is you flip some of these 22-year-olds for a nice big 30-year-old, like, you know, Brent Burns or Alex Edler or maybe Dustin Bufflin. I don't know. If one of these big skilled defensemen come available, I think the Stars are going to be the first in line to offer some really good prospects to try and get him.
Mike, enjoy the game tonight. Always great to catch up with you.
All right, we'll talk to you guys later.